Good day, Bride of Christ. It's Vileo here again. It's a massive privilege for me to be able to share with you today from God's Word. Yesterday we looked at chapter 17 in the Gospel of Matthew and saw the revelation of Jesus Christ continue from chapter 16. And today we'll be looking at chapter 18. I'd like to open for us in prayer. Father, we exalt you and we give you praise. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you for this good news, Lord, which has changed us, which continues to change us, Lord. Thank you that we behold you in the Scriptures, Father. We pray, Lord, that as we read, Father, may your Word bear fruit in us and transform us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in chapter 18, we see this revelation of Jesus Christ continue. And the disciples start the chapter by asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And there's this thing in us as human beings. We want to be competitive. We want to compete against one another. It's not enough being on the bus. You want to be close to the bus driver. Who's the closest to the place of authority? We are all good, but who's the most good? Who's the best? And this is exactly what was manifesting in the disciples' hearts at this time. And Jesus does something. He calls a small child. Just imagine, the disciples are there and they're saying, Lord, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus calls a child. You know, he calls the child to the middle and sets the child in the middle of the group that was asking. And then he tells them that whoever is not converted and becomes like this little child will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, will not receive the kingdom of heaven. A small child. Imagine the shock that this must have brought the disciples. So he continues in the chapter to speak about offenses and to speak about people who make other people stumble, specifically these little ones. Because see, the moment that we decide to be as children, the moment that we commit ourselves to humbling ourselves and being like Jesus, we open ourselves up to a lot of things. It's risky to be humble. It's risky to try and be childlike in every situation. But he says, offense will come, but woe to the person that it comes through. And he continues the chapter, and even through a parable, he continues this idea of someone stumbling. And this is where we pick up the narrative in verse 15. And I'd like to read for us. Please follow in your Bibles if you have them with you, or in your Bible app. It says the following: moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And let's just stop there quickly. See, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him your fault. Sometimes we think, no, if someone sins against me, it's fine, it doesn't matter. Let's just look over it and move on. Let's not like speak about it, because, you know, let me just be humble in the situation. But there must actually be an addressing of that sin. There must be an addressing of that issue that is between you and your brother. And we'll see in a moment why. Verse 16 says, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. And then it's like, whoa, this sounds very serious. Like, why must he be like a heathen or tax collector? You know, even without knowing the context, you can just hear heathen and tax collector doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like a friend. It doesn't sound, you know, like a buddy. But often what we do is we have issues between us and we brush them under the carpet and we continue on as though nothing is wrong. But as much as we can pretend in the natural that nothing is wrong and everything is okay, there's a certain measure of trust, there's a certain measure of our fellowship that we can have with one another as brothers in the Lord that is broken when there are undealt issues between us. And I remember very well, not so long ago, last year, having a challenge with a certain brother in the Lord, and I was so so torn within myself. Must I confront him? Must I just, you know, forgive and just look over it? Must we have a discussion here? Because naturally, I'm not very confrontational. But I remember very well the Holy Spirit urging me and prompting me to go and to take this thing head on. And some of us might be living in houses, might be staying together as families, and there's challenges. Or you might be in a community house and there are challenges, and we're not speaking about the challenges. Just imagine people walking past each other every day, not talking. How are you? No, I'm fine. But I can see you're not fine. You see, I know you. We live together. I know you're not fine. But these are things that have to be wrestled out. And why? Why is it so important that we have to confront offenses among us, between us? And we saw earlier in Matthew, when Marlon shared, that the sooner that we address offenses, the better. Don't let it simmer. Don't let it sit for long. But why is it important? The next verse says the following, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Just imagine. This is the reason. Because if there's offenses, if there's sin between us, it's almost like we were standing before with arms locked together. Suddenly sin has come, and maybe it was an offense towards me, but not for you. For you, it's everyday life. You do it to the people around you and they don't, you know, they're not bothered by it. But now, immediately, that unity is broken. That fellowship is severed. And unless there's an addressing of that sin, that fellowship cannot be reestablished, that trust cannot be reestablished, and the intimacy that we share with one another will be limited. And it's the same in relationships, in family relationships. We have to speak about those things and have honest conversations. Now, the rest of the chapter goes on with Jesus sharing the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it comes from Peter asking the question, which I'd like to read for us here. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Yo, Kabanga, just imagine. 70 times, Peter was trying to find a loophole in the system, you know. If he sins against me the 10th time, okay, I won't forgive him there because Jesus told me, you know. But he says 70 times 7, not because you must now go and calculate 70 times 7, but he was emphasizing the fact that it's a limitless number. And this is amplified by the parable which follows, you see. So we need to forgive one another. We can't hold grudges or remind people of what they did, because we are so easy to do that. Yeah, because when I is solo, you did what, you did this yesterday, you did this last week. But as we have been forgiven, let us likewise forgive one another. Let us pray. Father God, we exalt you, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us. Thank you, Father, that though we were at enmity with you, through the blood of Jesus, you've forgiven us, and now we have right standing with you, Father. Give us the grace to forgive one another, Father, as you have forgiven us, Father. And give us the boldness to confront when there is sin and when there is offense among us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we give you praise. Amen. May the Lord bless you.